play.
Sir.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when it comes like the show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2022 Shriners Children's Hospital Open, coming from you from Las Vegas, Nevada. We are not, but that's where the podcast is, the golf tournament will be coming from. Check out the podcast on Twitter at Always Press DFS. If you could rate and review on iTunes for that, we truly would appreciate it. It would help us out a ton. I'm on Twitter at BDIntric, and my co-host is always on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
Doing well. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad for a Monday. You know, baseball season's over. It's just playoffs now. So it's been like a relaxing day for me, to tell you the truth. No podcast last night. It's been pretty nice.
I can only imagine. How long is baseball season?
Like seven months. Six months. Yeah. 5 days a week for 6 months. Yeah. It adds up.
Yeah. Quick. It's a lot of time.
Yeah. So I like that. It's been a kind of nice few days, to say the least. It'll probably really sink in pretty soon. But, we do have golf, and I love it because swing season, fall season, whatever they want to call it now, I enjoy it. It was fun this past week because you get a bunch of goofy names up there that most people yell at their TV for, but us that pay attention a little more, for the most part, enjoy it. So what'd you think of the Sanderson Open, or where Sanderson Farms Open, that saw the highest-priced DK player, Sam Burns, cross the finish line?
Yeah, it was fun to see people take victory laps over betting the tournament favorite.
Exactly.
I wasn't on Sam Burns. I lost interest pretty quickly when my team sucked right out the gate. So, yeah, I didn't watch any of it. Don't have a whole lot to say, but Sam Burns, man, that dude he's on fire. Is that two wins in the last?
Yep.
Yeah, since the Valspar. So, a little less than 5 months, or about 5 months. That's pretty impressive.
It's pretty impressive for one of the young guns, and he'll be in Vegas this week. And I've said it on the show many times, but as he keeps getting better and winning, it like makes more sense when people said, I can't remember which golfer told No Laying Up, but they basically said it was Max Homa, I think. Playing with him, it's like playing with a mini DJ. He hits it long, he just needs to fine-tune a couple things, and he's going to go on a tear. And, well, lo and behold, there's two wins in 5 months, and it's like you can see what he was talking about because he's got those youthful moments where he just goes off the rails.
Yeah.
But then when he's focused and playing it, and, you know, the Valspar – see, people might say all the Sanderson, you know, not a big – the Valspar is where a lot of the big boys go, and it's a very challenging course. Yes. So we can't go say, like, that was a nothing. That was a big, big first-ever win. Then you come in here where I don't think he was leading until sometime Saturday, maybe part of Friday, but he really – like, Thursday, he didn't play good at all. He just kind of hung around. Then he had a big Friday going into Saturday, and then Sunday he kind of took to it. But it was a fun event. I didn't watch a lot of it. I just kept checking it on my phone. Guys like Tringali, who I liked a lot. It's the second time now I've been on him where he heads into a Sunday like in the lead or near the lead, and he has basically like shot one under. He's like, no, I don't got it. So that was entertaining. I will say Norlander, he finished, I think, what, top four here 2 years ago, coming in bad form. Well, another great finish, so that might be one to remember for the following years. But there's a handful of guys that got it done, and in the end, it was a birdie fest, like we thought, Jesse. Absolute birdie fest, but a lot of weird miscuts, as you mentioned, and it's kind of a trend. Safeway was like that, too. Safeway had a lot of goofy ones. We'll see how the Shriner is, because this is a loaded field. I think I saw like 15 of the top 30 in the world are at this event, which you don't see very often, but hey, Vegas, baby. Let's go play in Vegas. Let's go have some fun. Bring the wives out there. Let them go shopping. You know, whatever you want to do. So
the other thing is the CJ Cup is next week, right?
Oh, that's right. They're doing it in Vegas again, aren't they? Like they were last year, I think. Was it Sherwood? Or no, the one. That's the one in LA. CJ is where they do the that special fancy dancey course. Yes. It slips my mind every time we talk about it.
Yeah, we'll figure it out next week.
Yes, for sure. But let's talk Shriners. It's a fun event. Lots of birdies. What do you got for some past event history?
Yeah, so obviously it's been at this course, TPC Summerlin, for a while. Last year, Martin Laird won for the second time at this tournament. Pretty much out of nowhere. I don't think he was playing too awful great beforehand. But 23 under, playoff over Austin Cook and Matthew Wolf. 2019, Kevin Na won for the second time, 23 under in a playoff over Cantlay. Bryson won this tournament at 21 under, one shot over Cantlay. Speaking of Bryson, did you watch any of the long drive?
I was going to ask you about that. I should have brought that up earlier. I paid attention through like the top 16, and then I didn't see any more. I think he made the final eight for sure. How did he finish?
Yeah, he just got knocked out like that. So they had that round robin stuff going on up until the final eight, and then they only had like one set.
Yeah, so after it was like that, winner take all in the top eight.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and so he got a bunch in play, but he got like out hit by like 10, 15 yards or something, but. Pretty impressive.
A bracket system would have been cool. The final eight, like you got to knock a guy out and keep going. It'd be weird.
Yeah, I think a head to head would have been better. But they just did four and four. They did two pods of four, and then they did one pod of four, and then the final two.
But he was bombing them.
Fucking impressive. I don't give a shit what anybody says, man. I mean, to go from playing in the Ryder Cup. Top eight in the world. And I mean, it's not really technically the world because a lot of people couldn't travel because of COVID and shit like that. But either way, at least in the United States. 2017, Cantlay won 9 under in a playoff over Alex Sechka and Minwee Kim. 2016 was Rod Pampling, 20 under, two shots over Brooks. 2015, Smiley Kaufman.
Oh, man.
16 under. One shot over Bone, Sechka, Kazire, Nah, Stegmeier, and Tringali.
That's a
Webb Simpson won this in 2013. Ryan Moore in 2012. That's pretty much all that's kind of relevant as far as event history, course history goes.
And what stands out there when Jesse's talking about winners and even the guys challenging outside of Bryson DeChambeau is you don't need to be a bomber to play well here.
You don't, and it's going to be 20 under.
Yeah.
You better get to 20 under.
Birdie, like this is the one I was reading up on something right before we started. I remember for a fact now, because the cut line was minus six last year, this is the one I wanted to break things because I had like all my guys like at 4 or 5 under, and in any other event, that's like sweet, we're going over the weekend, and I only had like maybe 40% of my player pool make the cut. I was livid. But those are the rules. That's just the way it goes. It's a birdie machine tournament, like Jesse was saying. You don't have to be a bomber. It's a par 71, 7,255 yards. It's some may say it benefits bombers, but in 2018, they brought in 120 bunkers. So that's why you hear a lot of those names. Plus, it's also at altitude. So the ball's going to fly. It's going to be warm and dry, so it's going to roll. A lot of stuff like that. So a lot of the reports, like Kevin Na said it, it's all about location off the tee. Like, sure, you can play out of the rough. The rough's only like – it's Bermuda fairways, Bermuda rough. It's only like 2 inches, so a lot like last week at the Sanderson. So you can make it happen. But what Kevin Na was saying is you want to be able to spin it on the green. The greens are large, very large greens, rather flat greens. So you want to spin it to give yourself the best birdie possibilities, which makes sense. And you can't really spin it no matter what rough you're in. That's just common golf 101 there for you. So Kevin Na said, yeah, you'll get a lot of extra roll. You'll be fine. Some other – quotes you heard from the past when Brooks has played here in the past in practice rounds and stuff, he was hitting just irons because he wanted to be able to place it and knew he could still crush it out there and not care. So that's something to keep in mind. Water comes into play on four holes. I mentioned the bunkers. You got to be able to scramble if you're there, but if you're scrambling, you're probably not winning because you need birdie, 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 and birdie. It is bent grass greens, so keep that in mind as well. And when you look at the course overall, looking at Fantasy National, we go like hole by hole. Birdies are the thing to do. There's two par fives. The ninth hole is a 45.6% birdie rate, 3% eagle rate. And the 16th hole is a 50.4% birdie rate and a 5.2% eagle rate. I hate to break it to you. If you're not birdieing that hole, you could probably just pack it up for the weekend. That's just not going to happen. But there's three par fives, sorry. Also, the par five 13th is a 40% birdie rate. Now, there's a short par four 15th to 341 yards, is a 43% birdie rate. So the back nine, the closing holes, you can from basically 13 on, you have three holes that are 40% or better birdie rates and even 18 to 21% birdie rates. So lots of scoring down the stretch is something to keep an eye on. And then a few other key stats would be like to think about when you're looking at things. Approach is one of the higher ratings over the last top 10 finishers. Putting's not bad, but that's more stroke gain, luck box putting type thing on these flat greens. You want to be able to score on the par fives, like I said. Other than that, you're going to the greens regulations is one of the easier courses on tour to get greens and regulations. And most of your par fours, six of them come between 400 and 450 yards. And most of your shots come from 125 to 175 or over 200 because the par threes, most of them are over 200 yards and the par fives are all gettable. So you'll have 200 yard shots in there. So without blabbering anymore, Jesse, what key stats are you looking at this week?
I look at a lot of approach stuff. You know, obviously short scan approach, greens and regulation. I do think scrambling matters. Like you said, I mean, you really just want ball strikers who get hot with the putter. Par five scoring, birdie or better, plenty of course history to look at.
Yeah, plenty of course history. FanshareSports.com, promo code ALWAYSPRESS for 25% off the package of your choice. Just a couple things like we usually talk about, guys coming in good current form over the last six events and DK scoring. EVR leads the way. He's averaging 122 points. Matt McNeely, Mito Pereira, Joseph Bramlett, Nick Watney lead the way because, yeah, Nick Watney came out of nowhere last week with a T5. That was fun. A couple other fan share deals. Last six events on Bentgrass Greens, DK scoring, Webb Simpson leads the way, followed by Kazire, Schwartzel, Nah, and Harris English. And then last six events on courses, par 71, 7200, 74. You got Webb, Sam Burns, Adam Scott, Cam Tringali, Louis Oosthuizen leading the way there. So honestly, it's kind of surprising with all the big names here, like Webb was the main guy that stood out in that whole situation. I don't think that's where we're going to stand out when we do our DK scoring, Jesse, but that's what the numbers say. All right, let's talk DraftKings for the week. And we got six guys over 10K. Brooks leads the way at 11-1. Burns 10-9. Vic 10-6. Abraham Answer 10-4. Webb Simpson 10-2. Willie Z 10-1, who had a 61, I believe it was, on Friday, and then kind of waited around for the week. And good finish, but not what you'd hope for. What do you like 10K and above?
You know, it's hard to play Brooks. His course history is okay. I mean, if you like every other year, top fiving, miscut second, miscut fourth, miscut. He looked pretty good at the Ryder Cup. I don't know about paying that much, you know, up for him in this tournament. Sam Burns come off the win. I think Hovland at 10-6, he's, you know, he hasn't played since he obviously played the Ryder Cup, but the BMW PGA Championship, where he finished 49th, played really solid all year. He's got a win over in Europe, fourth place finish at the Tour Championship about a month ago. I think he's fine. Webb, obviously past winner here. I don't have him missing a cut since 2014. I don't know if you've got any further back than that.
I only have the past 5 years, and he's been T20 the last four, T31 or better four straight. So this suits him very well.
Pretty solid course history there for Webb. I expect him to be popular. The one guy that I would really focus on up here is Zalatoris. Fifth here last year, coming off a 14th place finish at the Sanderson. At the Fortnite, he finished 11th. Now, last week at the Sanderson Farms Championship, did you see what he shot on Thursday or Friday?
I was saying he shot 61, but then he kind of waited around for the week and didn't really do much.
I mean, Lord.
He was on fire. The straight
fuego. That's crazy. I've seen this a lot with guys when they have one round like that, that it's not too awful much longer and they have four great rounds together, right? I mean, I'm not saying that he's going to go out and shoot 61 every day, but to the point where
five or six under every day and you wouldn't be surprised.
Right. Right. And that's good enough to win on, I mean, in most weeks, you know, you shoot five under four straight days. That's 20 under. That's the number that we said you got to get to. So I like Will. I like him a lot this week. And I really think if he doesn't win this week, he's going to win, I think, this fall. So that's where I'm really going to concentrate on, especially, you know, if I'm playing multiple entries, then I'm going to definitely have some Will. I may throw in a Web lineup, but I don't know. It's just hard to play the rest of these guys to me.
It's tricky. Price. It's tricky. Like, I love Brooks. Like, in my 20 max, I probably have one or two, but I'm not going to go all in on Brooks. He only rates out well. His fairways aren't the best thing for him, but he's a birdie-making machine. He's a par five scoring machine. He's not a bad play. Burns will be very interesting coming off the dub. We usually don't like to play guys off of W's, but last 24 rounds, he's sixth off the tee, first birdie or better, first par five scoring. These are the things we want at this event. So I don't think I'm going to have much of him either because of who else I like up here. Those are the two high price guys, but I think they're in play. Abe Answer ranks third in my model. And you're talking about inconsistency at a tournament, fourth miscut. But the recent form has been great. T9 at the Tour Championship, T9 at the BMW, struggled at the Northern Trust. You know, he got a medal. I believe he medaled at the Olympics, or he finished high at the Olympics, but he didn't medal. He was in the playoff to medal, but he did not medal. He played very, very well at the Olympics. But like I said, third of my model, his approach game is phenomenal. His opportunity gains phenomenal. Fairways is great. Phenomenal iron player, like we talk about. I think Abe Ancer might be the like guy that people skip around in this range, and the ownership game can be fun with him at 10-4. Webb's a great play. You mentioned that he's going to be very popular. I don't mind Willie Z. I'm just curious if he's going to keep getting more and more popular. It'll be interesting to see. Great play. I agree. He's going to win sooner or later. But for me, I think Ancer is kind of the pivot in this range if you want to be a little bit different. 9K range, we've got Oosty at 99, Scheffler 97, Matsuyama 95, English 93, M 92, Na 91, Kim 9K. I'm pretty sure because Scotty missed the cut last year. He's the one. This is like the vent, Jesse. He shot like 6 or 7 over the first day and then like 7 under the next day.
Let's just find out.
I'm pretty sure. It's bringing back flashbacks, right? Like horror story flashbacks.
No, he shot 69-67 and missed the cut. Well,
he barely missed the cut, so it must have been a different tournament. It was a false swing event. I know that much.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Horror stories. But that might have been a couple of years ago, too. I don't know. Everything fucking runs together anymore.
True.
Louis at 9,900. He played here in 20, finished 19th. He's just playing really solid golf the whole entire year. I think he's fine. Sungjae at 92, 13th, 15th in his two starts here. He's figured some shit out of late, so I'm ready to go back to him. But my favorite play in this range is Siwoo Kim. I don't think this will be a hot take by any means as far as me liking him. I think he'll be popular. But 8th, 55th, 15th, 25th in his last four starts here. Coming off an 8th place finish last week, 11th the week before that. Playing really solid golf. $9,000. Like him quite a bit. I mean, I don't mind Nah, and obviously the rest of these guys in this range can win, but those are the three that I like the most.
Yeah, no, this is a very, very interesting range to me because, like, Oosty had some pretty good form finishing out the season. Hasn't played in a little bit. $9,900. I can see it. Scheffler, I'm always a fan of, just especially on birdie fest. Like, 8th and birdie are better in this field. 13th par 5 scoring. So he's intriguing, but I think some of the guys I like to kind of pivot off of. Matsuyama's always low-owned, always. He's 6th in my model, 10th approach, first opportunities gained, 4th par 5 scoring. I don't mind going to him. You talk about some good recent history. Missed cut here, but then T16 with his current form coming in here. You know, T6 at the Fortnite, T26 at the Tour Championship, 46, 43. So 4 straight made cuts. I think that break might have helped him out a little bit, and he's played well here in the past. Harris English is always one that gets me because you never know what you're going to get with Harris English, but you know the way he's swinging it right now is interesting. I like the Sungjae call. Coming and playing really well, 11th in my model. He's a birdie machine. He looks like he's figured things out, so I'm with you 100% on that. And I like the Siwoo call. I hope he's not as popular as you're saying he is, but if people look like you're saying, he's 23rd in my model, second around the green. But if you mentioned those recent form here, not to mention, you know, just current form is crazy. Like you mentioned, T8, T11, you go farther back, T29 at the BMW, T2 at the Wyndham. See, he was playing some really good golf, which is crazy to say, but maybe he's trying to get it all in before he has to go report for duty. I think that's a very interesting play. So, like, for me, it's almost Matsuyama, M, Siwoo. Kind of hope you get some different ownership there. But I'll keep my eye on the ownership on Wednesday, and if Scotty and English are coming in lower owned, I'll have a few pieces. But for me right now, it's Matsuyama, M, and Siwoo in the 9K range. 8K, we got Paul Casey at 89, Corey Connors at 88, Kokrak 87, Reed 86, Tringali 85, Scott 84, Neiman 83, Wolf 82, Hoffman 81, EVR 8,000. Seeing Patty Reed at 86, Jesse, makes me just go like, how chalky is chalk going to be?
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't played. When's the last time he played?
He hasn't played well. I know that much. He played the championship, Tour Championship.
Tour Championship, so a month. He's only been off a month.
He finished 25th out of 30, so that's not bad.
I got 17th out of 30.
Oh, mine's saying 25th for some reason. Maybe one's with the actual scoring, one's with the tournament finish.
I forgot about that.
Who knows?
I'm skipping the top half there. Going straight down to Tringali at 8,500. 19th missed cut, 31st second in his last four appearances here, so pretty solid. And he just played really well of late. 11th last week, 22nd the week before that. Had a pretty good playoff run there. I think he'll go under-owned, especially in comparison to like Kokrak, Casey, Paul Reed, Patrick Reed, who are perennially heavily owned, especially Corey Connors right there too. I mean, people love to own Corey Connors at 22%.
Well, they always misprice it. He shouldn't be $8,800. Like, this is Kuchar stuff here.
Right. And then Adam Scott, 84, 42nd here back in 2019. You know, it's Adam Scott. I feel like he can win every single week. Matt Wolf, man, talked about him last week. Had a pretty good showing at the chicken farm deal there last week. Finished 17th. He's got good course history. Second last year, 18th the year before that. You will not get him at 10% like you did last week, though. Yeah, I'd say he'd be closer to 15 to 20 this week, I would imagine. And then last but not least for me, Eric Van Rooyen at 8K. You mentioned him at the, and I think during the fan share deal there where he's leading the field in DraftKings points gained. It's because he's played really well. 16th Tour Championship, 5th BMW Championship, 7th Northern Trust. So really solid stretch of golf for him. He won the Barracuda back in August. So playing well at 8K, like him quite a bit.
Yeah, it's a very, very fun range. Like, I'm going to get suckered into Corey Connors, and he's going to be chalkier than chalk. Like you mentioned, he's first in my model, 8th off the tee, 1st up gain, 2nd birdie or better, 6th in fairway. Like, he just rates out beautifully. And he's chalky every time, and I just keep going back to him because why not? He's, like, playing great golf. He hasn't played here in a while. He's miscut 19, T68, 2018. Maybe the course fit's not great, but 17th last week, 22nd Tour Championship, 22nd at BMW, 8th at the Northern Trust. Dude's stroking it right now. So it's hard to lay off of him. I'm going to definitely have some shares of Corey Connors. Cam Tringali, I'll be all over as well. I had a lot of him last week. He's 8th in my model right now, playing great golf, especially when it comes to birdies and par 5 scoring. This is a guy you want to attack with. So Cam Tringali, 85, big fan there. I think one guy that's just stands out in a big way right now in my model, and I was looking at him earlier, and I was curious of why. And you look at his recent form, 29th at the Tour Championship, 29th at BMW, 47th Northern Trust. In this event, he finished 13th last year, missed cut T10. That was one Joaquin Niemann. He's 4th in my model, 7th off the tee, 1st ops gain, 7th birdie or better, 17th in proximity over 200, which I said a lot of the shots will be coming from 200. So Niemann might be one of the lower owned guys you can get at $8,300. That would stand out because you got Scott and you got Wolf right around him. Like, Wolf's nice and all. He tore it up last week. I agree with Jesse. When I saw 9%, 9-10%, I was over the moon going, whoa, because I had a lot of Matthew Wolf. And it worked out well. Now, he's got great current, past history here. My goodness, you look at Matty Wolf, 2nd last year, 18th the year before. He's coming in with decent form, 17th last week. I guess that's the only one he missed 2 cuts prior to that. But that's the Matty Wolf experience, right? Like, right. We know he's all or nothing.
He's injured. Better than 8,200 golfer in this field.
100%. Like, this dude's a legit winner and could tear this golf course apart. So, like, him and Connor should be the chalk here. I like Hoffman. I continue to like Hoffman. And I'm with you on EVR. He actually ranks 13th. For me, usually is not running good in my models, but his current play has upped him in a big, big way. So this 8K range, I'll have a lot of pieces of in my 20 max, but I'll definitely kind of weight it differently based on ownership. Like, it's going to be impossible for me to avoid Corey Connors. It just is for how good he is. You kind of get different somewhere else, as I always say. But I like Niemann as a potential pivot in this range at $8,400 or $8,300. Could be a fun one. And, yeah, it'll be interesting to see where Wolf happens to be this week. 75 to 79, we got Wise, Henley, Mito Pereira, who you won't get at like 30% on this week. Easy shouldn't. Kevin Streelman, Matt McNeely, Danny Willett, Brian Harman, Leishman, Gooch, Palmer, Kazire, Thigala. Sahith Thigala, who almost won it last week. And now that I think about it, Pereira might be chalky again. So what do you like in this range?
Yeah, start with Mito there at 78. He's never played here. 31st last week, not great, but 3rd the week before that. I will continue to go back to him. I talked about it last week. Maverick McNeely at 7,700. His course history is not great. Miscut, 37th miscut, but 2nd place at the Fortnight. Hasn't missed a cut since the PGA Championship back in May. Brian Harman at 7,600. Hasn't missed a cut here since 2012. I mean, hasn't played every year, but has 3 straight top 20s at this event, coming off a 29th there at the BMW. Thigala, like you said, he almost won. I mean, he was in the driver's seat and just, you know, like anybody would do, folded on Sunday in that kind of position. He was 6,800 last week, 3% owned. Somehow I was playing in a contest with a guy, and he had him, and I was like, how did you – land on him? Well, he just randomly picked names. That's how he got on. 8th last week. I mean, he's made 4 straight cuts, so it does make sense especially last week, if you go back, you know, 6,800 for a guy who's made three in a row in that field. It's an oversight by us. And then Ryan Palmer at 7,500. Mm-hmm. So has made four straight cuts at this event. Finished inside the top 40 all four of those years. He didn't have a great finish to the end of last season, but I feel like at $7,500, I'm getting a major steal on Ryan Palmer. So I'm on Ryan Palmer this week.
Yeah, there's a lot to like here. Aaron Wise, he's second in my model. He's 15th birdie or better, 12th par five, scoring fifth from 100 to 125. Recent history here, missed cut, but then 15th, 32nd, 10th is nice. He's coming in good form, T26, T17, T21. T46, so he's interesting. Another guy that'll come in really low owned, had a really strong week last week at $7,900. Russell Henley's always interesting if you need to have an iron player, but Mita Pereira at 78, 10th of my model, is hard to ignore what he's doing out there. Streelman is another guy that can play pretty strong, coming out with a T31 last week. He's made at least four straight cuts for me. And where's he at on this one? Streels, but the recent history here, missed cut, then 51st, 67, 61. That's not ideal, but current form is looking really good with Streelman. I like Harmon a ton. I'm with you there. Big, big Harmon fan this week. I think Palmer's outstanding. 17th of my model. You mentioned the form and the recent history here. I think it's really strong. And the same with Patton Kizzire, 39th of my model, 12th birdie or better, second in proximity, 1 to 125. But you look at the past history here, T24, T42, T4 his last three trips here. And after the missed cut at the Sanderson, but a T28 at the Fortnite, T34 at BMW, T56 at Northern Trust, he's a guy that can birdie it as well. So I think he's interesting at 75 because I think the Gala will be much more popular this week. People should flock to Ryan Palmer because of the price tag alone. But really good range here, and you can get a low on Kizzire, who I'm just a big fan of in birdie fest, like I mentioned last week, and it paid off a bit there. 7K to $7,400. You got Griot. I'm not going to read them all. Who do you like here?
There's a lot.
It's a lot. I looked at it like, yeah, I'm done.
Let's start with Kisner at 74. 25th, 56th in his last two starts, which was 2015, 2014. He'd have a couple missed cuts before that. But, again, kind of like Palmer, I feel like I'm getting a bit of a steal at $7,400 there. Luke List at 7,200. You would think the problem with Luke List, obviously, is always the putter. But he's played all right around here. He did miss the cut last year, but before that, 13th, 20th, 15th, most definitely figured some shit out toward the end of last year. Had some top 10s, some top 5s, coming off a 17th place finish last week. Joseph Bramlett, $7,200, never played here, has made two straight cuts since he won the Korn Ferry Tour Championship. So, like him quite a bit at 72. Stuart Sink, $7,100. Has not missed a cut here at least since 2012. I've got 64th, 15th, 56th, 33rd, 36th. I feel like this is a misprice on him, but he's got three straight top 40s, four straight missed cuts coming into this event. Like Stuart quite a bit. Norlander at 7,000. He was in the mix last week. Ended up finishing fourth. Missed cut the Northern Trust before that, but finished fifth at the Barbasol. You know, he's up and down and all around, but he did make the cut last year, missed two straight cuts before that. Ches Reavie at 7,000. His course history is not great. The model likes him, so I'll mention him. Ryan Moore hasn't missed a cut here since 2014. Is coming off a 39th place finish last week. Four straight missed cuts before that, but Ryan Moore with the course history there, I can play him this week.
Emiliano Griot, $7,400, 15th of my model, eighth in fairways gained, sixth in proximity over 200 yards. I'll give him a shot in a few lineups because he can run hot. We've seen him score in the Birdie Fest events, like usually in the Bermuda and those ones, but we'll see how he does this week. But I don't mind him at $7,400, a little bit of a discount on Griot. Man, Seamus Power let me down a big way last week, missing the cut on the number. Yeah. That one stung. That would have been really, really
well. Sick. He bogeyed the last hole.
Yeah, that makes it even worse, actually. Makes it even worse.
Well, he was outside the cut, and then, like, because he tried to make a run there. I don't know if you saw his.
Yeah, and I was watching it on my phone very closely, thinking, come on, you little.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah, but
too many doubles.
Too many doubles. And some of these guys just not scoring on par fives was amazing to me. But Joseph Bramlett, I'm with you 100%, 12th in my model. He's doing great. Three ops gains, seventh in par fives, first in over 200 yards. I love Luke List. I said it was weird. He was third in my model last week. Well, wasn't horrible. Wasn't horrible last week at all. Finished T17. There's a time there he was much higher in T17. So it almost looked really genius. But 19th in my model this week, first off the tee, sixth opportunity gain, seventh over 200 yards. Like you mentioned, it's all about the putter with him. Can he get hot with the putter? And these greens can be friendly, as they say. I like Norlander as well at 7K in this week. Chez Reavie, he always rates out good in my model. I never do well with him. So that'll be interesting. But I do like Ryan Moore as well. Like you said, at $7,000, he looks pretty solid to me. One guy I'm going to have to really take a close look at because he doesn't rate out good that well for me. But, man, Pat Perez and Stu Goat both don't rate out well for me on this. But they played pretty well, it feels like, of late. And like you mentioned, the pricing in this field could be interesting as well. So I might have to dig in some more. But like Stugart's numbers look horrific over the last 24 rounds. That's the only thing that scares me off. But I know how you could turn it around here in a big, big way. So I'm with you on him. I just got to convince myself a little more, I think. 6K range. Who are you liking down here?
Start with Charles Howell III, $6,900. Hasn't missed a cutter since 2012. Now, coming off a missed cut at the Fortnite, you know, it's one of those things. Obviously, you're going to take the good with the bad when we get down in 6K range, but that course history is good enough for me. Schenk at 6,800 has made three of four cuts at this event. All three times that he's made the cut, he has been inside the top 30 with two top 20s there. Come off a missed cut last week as well. Piercy, I think this is his home course at 6,700. He missed the cut here in 2019, but other than that, I don't have him with a missed cut since 2014. Neesmith at 67, finished eighth here last year. You know, he had a good fall run last year and then kind of fell off a little bit, but see if he can figure some shit out. Aaron Rye at 6,500. Peter Malnati also at 6,500. And last for me is James Hahn at 6,400. Just course history perspective, he finished fifth here last year, hasn't missed a cut here since 2014. Obviously, it's James Hahn. He's up and down. He missed at one point like 75,000 straight missed cuts and then just one out of nowhere. So he is what he is. But James Hahn at 6,400, I think is worthy of a team or two, especially if you're playing a lot of teams.
Yeah, don't disagree with that at all. For me in the 6K range, Doug Gim is 18th by Molly, $6,900, 14th in opportunities gained, 20 in fairways hit. I don't mind him at 6,900. Sliding down, Chad Ramey at $6,800. He can be another one coming off the Korn Ferry Tour. He made the cut last week, missed the cut at the Fortnite, but he's a big-time scorer on the Korn Ferry Tour. So if he can get hot, he looks good. One of my favorite players down here is Cage Lee at 6,700. He's 31st in my model. He's 6th in par 5 scoring. It's just and 23rd in fairway gain. It's just more the proximity thing for him, but he plays really, really well on these type of courses as well. And then sliding down here, I'm going to go – no, I can't do it. Hayden Buckley, I played a lot of last week as his local course, and he's torn it up when he's played there. Not so sure I can jump back on that train just yet. But Rory Sabatini at $6,500 seems like a bit of a discount to me in this field. He's a guy I can run with at $6,500. Michael Thompson is 27th in my model. He's $6,300. He's 9th in approach, 9th in birdie or better, 25th in fairways hit, and 18th proximity over 200 yards. So he's just really bad on the par fives. So you can make that work this week. We're in play. Brian Stewart, Hank Lebiota also rate out pretty well in this. And then somehow Sepp Straka ranks 14th by Molly, $6,200. This will be interesting to see how he plays out because he's always a tilting one. But 19th the par five scoring. Proximity's in top 20 in both of those. He's a guy to look at. And then last but not least for me, I'm going to say my cheapest guy will be Mark Hubbard at 6,100. I go down to him at 6,100, 5th in fairways gained, 15th in par 5 scoring, 18th in opportunities gained. He's just a guy that he goes full tilt or he can run really, really hot. So a couple kind of guys like that in the low 6Ks for me. All right, recapping things real quick. Who you like in 10K and above?
Zalatoris.
I'm going to go Abe Answer for me at 10-4. 9K range, who you liking?
Siwoo.
I like that call. I'm going to go Matsuyama at 95. 8K range, who you got?
I'm going to say Tringali and EVR.
I like the Tringali call. I'll go Neiman and I'll go Corey Connors, but everyone should be playing Corey Connors. 75 to 79, who you like?
Mito and Harmon.
I like Aaron Wise and Harm, or I'll go Aaron Wise and Palmer to be a little different. 7K to 74, who you liking?
Bramlett and Sink.
Yeah, I like Bramlett, and I'll go Bramlett and Norlander for me. 6K range, who you got?
I'm just going to say Piercy.
Yeah, it's not bad, not bad.
Not a huge fan of the 6K range this year.
I'm going to go KH Lee if I got to pick one guy. Give me KH.
Franny down here at 6,900.
I can't do it. Can't do it. He's just so all over the board. Like, would it shock me? No, but, man, it's ugly right now. Birdie or better, he's 103rd in the field. Like, good God. Par 5 scoring 121. It's bad right now. Yeah. Bad for Franny. But hopefully he turns it around. I need some Franny fun, that's for sure. But there's a couple, like, if I just trust the model, which I always say is a tough thing for me to do, there's a ton of, like, top 40 guys in my model down here that I can play some roulette with if I really feel dicey. Feeling dicey, we'll get to that in a minute, but if you're feeling safe and you're playing a cash game, Jesse, who are three guys you're going to start your cash game lineups out with?
I'm going to – so just give some salary savers here. I'm going to go with Sink, Harmon, and then Wolf.
Yeah, since it's cash, I don't care about chalk, so give me Connors, give me Harmon, and give me Matsuyama. We'll go that route to start off with. If you're starting a GPP, though, who are you starting things out with?
Zalatoris, Siwoo, and you can grab somebody like Palmer.
I'll go answer KH Lee and throw in some Matsuyama. That one. I like Matsuyama a lot this week, so we'll see how well that turns out. Speaking of things we like a lot this week, it's the gambling portion of the show. So, Jesse, looking at DraftKings Sportsbook, who you like to win this thing?
Yeah, it's odd that Kevin Na is 25, and then his price on DraftKings is what? Yeah, 91. That's, I guess it's not right. It's not that far off. Yeah,
he's better odds than Hideki, I'll tell you that much.
Will at 22, I don't think is terrible. Yeah, that is weird that Kevin Na is priced above Hideki. I mean, Hideki at 28 is not.
It's not bad.
Not bad at all. 40 on Patrick Reed.
40 on Wolf, even if Wolf runs hot, like he could easily win this thing.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, but like Patrick Reed at 40, yeah,
that is kind of crazy. But look at his price tag on DK. People are thinking he's still hurt or something's wrong with him. That's all I can think of.
Yeah, I guess. So
boy, Adam Scott's 55.
Yeah, you know, you could maybe nibble a little bit on that if you wanted to.
What's like Ricky Fowler at 80?
No, I mean, like, I would rather take Palmer at 80.
Yeah, I don't blame you there. Don't blame you at all on that one.
A little bit deeper, if you look at somebody like Norlander at 130. Stuart Sinkhaus at 130.
I will say Steven Yeager. I'm not picking him to win. He's a guy to keep an eye on, though. He won the Corn Fair, or he didn't win. He finished very well in the Corn Fair this past year. And when he gets hot, he can birdie like a mofo. And he, this past week, I'm trying to find him again. He was playing really well. I saw a lot of him over the weekend. But let me just type that in. He finished T26 last week. So he's $6,800 this week. He's got to keep an eye on as well. But I'm not saying go and bet him, but if you want like a T40 bet or something, I think you could do much worse than a guy like Yeager. But yeah, long shot wise, there's not a ton I'm in love with down here because it's actually a decent field and I see the boys scoring. But what I will say, the stuff I enjoy here, T20s, there is one that stood out to me right out the gate here. Let me pull him up. And we've talked about him. We both like him this week. Joseph Bramlett's plus 550 to T20. I think that's a fun one.
I like it. Yeah.
Yep. The way he's swinging it. That's one that stood out to me. I can't pick him to win yet. But man, like he could easily, like at worst, that's what I love about this DK Sportsbook. They got that T40 for us. And that's still plus 220. I'd be really confident in plus top 40. But anything else stand out to you this week, Jesse?
That's all I got.
All right. Well, that'll wrap us up, folks. Another week of PGA DFS in the books. We'll be back to you guys next week with another fun-filled week of DFS action. But for now, check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm on Twitter at BDIntric, the podcast at Always Press DFS. This was your Shriners Children's Open preview. Catch you all later. The show goes on all night to the morning.